found the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective, and we're helping as many people out there as we can to be the catalyst for restoring these values in their community, and that includes state legislators, which we'll be talking about today. I'm Rick Green here with David Barton and Tim Barton. And guys, Audrea will be joining us, Audrea Decker, who runs our pro-family legislative network. And this is going to feel like a Good News Friday, guys, because there's a ton of good news that's about to come at us.
There's no doubt. And it's one of the reasons we wanted to do this update is it's so easy to look at the national scene and see the drama and the nonsense and to feel overwhelmed at times with all that's happening. And the reality is there's so much good happening in so many places. Dad, it reminds me, one of the things we like to tell about the American Revolution is kind of the overall battles and the role of Washington, et cetera, that the overall narrative of how you achieve victory is just different than what a lot of people realize.
Yeah, it is. And it's you get healthy from the bottom up. And that's what we see with the American Revolution. We had great leadership at the top, no question. But Washington did not fight those 250 battles. He fought 16 of them, won only 7. So it's really what's going on at the local level. All the people with all their towns, all the state militias, everything else. And that's kind of what the state legislators are. We get so much about Washington, D.C. and the gridlock and, you know, Trump versus Biden and all the fights that go on and what they're doing to attack Speaker Johnson or what they're doing over in the Senate. That's not all of America. That's kind of what's federal. But man, there's so much more going on. And I think we've mentioned before that with the legislative network, I think last year with Audrey and the things there, we monitored 152,000 pieces of legislation. A lot of that got passed and a ton of it was really, really good. Now, certainly things got passed in some crazy states doing crazy stuff like California. But we just didn't hear about all the other good states. And so Audrey has kept up with this. She's dealing with, I don't know how many numbers of legislators, maybe dozen every day, are asking for help or need guidance or need connected to something or what do I do with this provision. And so she really is, as much as anybody in the country, up to date on what's happening at the state level. And I think we're going to be really excited with what we hear today. We'll be like a Good News Friday because I know for sure I've been seeing some of the stuff that's going on in the papers that we're getting some really good progress at the state level. So it's going to be fun to hear from Audrey today.
Well, my guess is we'll only have time to scratch the surface in our little short program here because there is so much that has been happening with these legislators. But Audrey will keep us up to date. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to let you know about an opportunity coming up for pastors and ministry leaders. We are doing our annual pastor's briefing in Washington, D.C., and we do this every year. We do one in the spring, we do one in the fall. This spring, it's April 16th and 17th. This fall, it is September 10th and 11th. This is one of the most significant things we do to encourage and challenge pastors in this culture we live in. It's in Washington, D.C., and Tuesday night, we do an after-hours tour of the U.S. Capitol, where we introduce pastors and ministry leaders to the history of the nation. The following day, we have congressmen come and they give a briefing on what they're doing and how God is challenging and motivating and using them. And frankly, most pastors, most ministry leaders, they don't know the rich spiritual heritage of the nation or what God is still doing, moving in the hearts and lives of leaders in this nation. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor ministry leader, you need to come to this. It's one of the best things we do at Wall Builders. To find out more, go to wallbuilders.com and look for the pastor's briefing.
We're back here at Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. Always good to have Audrea Decker with us from the Pro Family Legislative Network and the Pro Family Legislators Conference. Audrea, good to have you back. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we've got some states in session, others not, and then a bunch of those little short sessions that happened. And, of course, we got hundreds of legislators across the country that are part of our network. And, man, a lot of good stuff getting filed. David was like, we got to get her on for an update. So, anyway, well, where do we start? So, you've got a lot of folks out there doing a lot of good things. How do you pick?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I have to say, Rick, when people get discouraged with what everything that's happening at the federal level, I always just say, just look to a couple of the states and you will be encouraged. Legislators, even in blue states that are in our network, blue states, red states, purple states, I mean, they are working so hard and they are on the front lines, really preserving biblical values, constitutional principles, taking the work that you and David and Tim have been doing educating on the Constitution, and they're like living it out in these states, passing it into policy, and it's just really encouraging. So I just want to make sure the Wall Builders audience knows that things are happening at the state level, and it's incredible. One of those areas is religious freedom, and it's been amazing to see what's been happening in that space.
And that's one of those that, you know, we've had Kelly Shackelford on, of course, talking about the victory of the Kennedy case, but then people have to know that so they can act on it. And a lot of these legislators, like you're saying, they're not just hearing about this stuff. They're not just doing a Constitution class or coming to the conference or talking about it. They're actually taking action on it. They're saying, hey, let's redeem the time. Let's go get some of this done as quick as we can. So religious liberty, big one, man.
That's
we got
right.
Ten Commandments cases, chaplains in schools. Which states is that happening in?
Okay, so the chaplains in school is a really simple bill that Texas passed last year, and it just simply said that school districts can hire chaplains, or they can allow volunteer chaplains. And that's a really incredible opportunity to welcome faith back into the public square, welcome faith back into our schools. And so we have 16 states to date that have introduced that bill this session alone. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of really conservative states that aren't in session this year, like Arkansas and North Dakota and Texas and others. So more are even going to be introducing this bill next year. Florida just joined Texas in becoming the second state to pass this bill. Just last week, they passed the chaplain and school bill. Louisiana just passed that same bill out of committee this week. And like I said, you've got 16 states that are moving forward on this. And so just as we have chaplains for our first responders and for our military, why not allow them into schools? And the statistics on what happens to mental health crisis, suicide rates are just incredible. I mean, they improve dramatically. There's not been a single suicide in the 30,000 schools that have chaplains, not one suicide.
Whoa.
And so we want to see more of that in America.
Talk about good stats. I mean, what works, works, right? And
that's,
I mean,
right.
Obviously you could have a bad situation happen, but still, I mean, that is, and it's just common sense. It's just that those who just really hate religion and do not want any influence that's faith-based or any kind of counseling that would come from a faith perspective, they just hate that stuff. And of course, we see the negative results of that, and we see what happens in any area where we remove faith. So this is really good. And the number is just, when you said that, I had to laugh out loud because it just makes me happy. I mean, that's a staggering number, 16 states. And then another, what is it, about half of that have done Ten Commandments cases. I mean,
good
legislation.
So we have 8 states that have introduced this session legislation related to putting the Ten Commandments back in schools. And there's a couple different bills here. There is one bill that was run in Texas last year. It didn't pass, but it was really close, that would actually require the Ten Commandments to be posted in every public school classroom, which is just remarkable. And this gets back to those historic Supreme Court rulings that you guys have talked about so much on Wall Builders, which is, it's the history and traditions test. I mean, the Ten Commandments are the foundation of our law and our judicial system in America, and that should be taught in school. And so we have 8 states running that bill. We have one state, Utah, and you guys may have talked about this on the show, that they ran a bill that was a little bit different, but it was a great idea. And they joined Oklahoma in passing this law now. This is passed in Utah this session, to say that the Ten Commandments are allowed to be taught in school right alongside with the Constitution, the Declaration, the Magna Carta, that is an important founding document for students to understand in our classrooms.
You know, I always ask people when they, because they're always surprised that anybody would be against this, right? Wait, we don't want to tell the kids that murder's bad? We don't want to tell the kids stealing's
right.
bad? We don't want to tell the kids honor mom and dad? You know, again, common sense says this makes sense. You want to have some sort of foundation. And as you said, I mean, all of our laws, you go back to this, based off of this, this is just common sense, and restoring that common sense is what these legislators are doing.
And I have to just say, one of our legislators, Representative Mike Peterson out in Utah, worked so hard. I mean, a lot of these legislators, they start working on these bills in the summer. You know, it's 6 months that they have prepared and studied and prayed over these bills. And have to thank our wall builders prayer team for praying for these bills, praying for these legislators, and encourage the audience, don't ever underestimate that, because these are massive spiritual battles that these legislators are undertaking as they're welcoming faith back into our schools and our classrooms. And so, yeah, really incredible victories there. Senator Anthony Kern has this bill in Arizona, the Ten Commandments bill. It's already passed out of the Senate there. It's now moving to the House. So really amazing things on this front.
You know, switching gears a little bit, Audrey, you had come on, a little bit earlier last year talking about some of the UCC issues and starting to rally some legislators to prevent a lot of these things from, you know, the digital currency and other things from just getting, you know, running away without the legislators ever really having much of a voice on this.
That's right.
Yeah, talk to us about that. I mean, have some of the reps and senators stepped up on that one as well?
Yes, they really have. You know, last year when we were talking about this on the show, nobody really even had heard about the Uniform Commercial Code. If you weren't a state legislator, if you were just an average citizen, you maybe have never heard about the Uniform Commercial Code or the Uniform Law Commission that actually gets together and writes these laws, these model legislations. Now, it still has to be passed through the legislature. But the way it works is the commission writes the draft and they hand it to the legislators, and oftentimes that bill gets passed without ever being read or considered. And so when we found out about this and some really concerning things in the state code that were paving the way for a central bank digital currency last year, you know, we quickly worked with Governor Noem's office. She vetoed the bill. DeSantis held a press conference bringing awareness to the issue, and that really set off a whole firestorm of conservative states saying, hold up, we need to actually read these 100, 200 page bills that have a lot of concerning things in them. Now, fast forward to this year, we're learning more about the Uniform Law Commission. And in fact, there was an article published this week in the Federalist, and it said, meet the group threatening America's freedom that you've probably never heard of. And the reason why is they're now creating model policy. One is called the Public Health Emergency Authorization Act, and this would actually strip legislatures of their power, give all the power to governors, and put in there really alarming things that would allow them to survey, monitor people in their state during a public health crisis. I mean, it really would turn governors into dictators, which is the polar opposite of what we saw happen after COVID, where legislatures took control back to the people, right? Back to the governing bodies. And so these are the kinds of policies coming out of the Uniform Law Commission. And so while this started out as probably a good project to make laws uniform when it came to commercial transactions 100 years ago, it's now evolved into a more like a bureaucracy that is out of touch with the governing bodies that actually represent the people. And so we are really working with legislators to say, let's read these bills carefully. Let's make changes to make sure that they are constitutional, that they protect private property, and that they're in the best interests of the citizens of your state.
Man, you're so right. It's like this unelected, you know, bureaucratic body that's out there making these laws, and then so often legislators rubber stamp it, or the leadership just pushes it through, and everybody's just, I think they are kind of conditioned to it, where they think, oh, yeah, this is just those tweaks on, you know, contract law so that
that's
it's uniform
right.
across state.
And that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, when you were a legislator, that's what it used to be. So it's changed so much. But I have to say, really incredible progress this year. In fact, just this week in Oklahoma, Representative Clay Stairs has been working really hard there on a fantastic bill that would protect Oklahoma from a central bank digital currency, from it just being, if it were to be rolled out at the federal level, this state code is really alarming that it would allow for that. And so states like Alabama and North Dakota passed really important protections last session against the central bank digital currency. Oklahoma just passed that in the House this week. We have other states like Tennessee and Louisiana that are on track to do that as well this session. And so really great progress from last year as states are working to protect their citizens in their uniform commercial code.
Random question. So, for instance, on the emergency powers thing, you're exactly right. I mean, it took way too long, but the states eventually started passing legislation saying, hey, we don't want to end up back in that box where, you know, something happened and we weren't in session and we couldn't get, you know, we couldn't have a voice in this thing until 6 months later or 9 months later. We want governors to have, you know, maybe 2 weeks, at the most a month, but not unlimited ability to shut down a state or do these crazy things. And so we did. We saw a lot of legislators act on that and the UCC trying to reverse all that and go backwards. In the same way, is there anything that you're aware of where, you know, we've got this WHO thing coming up where the World Health Organization is trying to essentially be the end all be all on that question? And instead of even giving the power to the governor or the president, we're giving it to a foreign entity. And so a lot of people have been talking about that and warning about that. There's the Sovereignty Coalition out there. We've had, folks on about that. But are any state legislators doing anything on that you know of?
Yes. And our legislators in Louisiana have been really hard at work at this. And I mean, they probably reached out to us on this issue probably 8 or 9 months ago. I mean, they've been tracking legislation on it. We've been working with some of our partners, Center for Security Policy, on this. We have great model legislation now. Louisiana, I think, will be the first to really push something through substantial on this issue. Once they do, we'll be rolling it out to other states. But that's one of the things I love about our legislators at PFLN is, you know this, Rick. I mean, they are so innovative, and they're always looking at the new issues and the new strategies and the things that we need to be really proactive on, and making sure that our constitutional rights are protected. And so I really just have to give a big shout out to Louisiana and our legislators there that have been working really hard on this issue. But you're exactly right. I think that issue will be even a bigger legislative issue next session. But we certainly have states that are trailblazing on it this year.
So many things we could cover, but I do want to try to get one more in our last few minutes together here. Parental rights. That's another one where, you know, during COVID and of course with the jab and all that stuff that came to a head, and a lot of people started saying, you know, obviously school choice and a lot of other parental rights issues as well. But it looked like we had a few of our members also working on that one, just making sure the medical decisions were parents making that decision, not somebody else.
That's exactly right. And it's sad that this has become such a big political battle, right? You would think this should be a really straightforward issue, but we have legislators that have just stepped up to make sure that parental rights are protected. And Representative Barbara Ehart in Idaho just passed this last week in the House a bill that would really shore up parental rights on medical decisions. And this was a great bill. For our listeners that know Representative Ehart, she was the first to pass the Save Women Sports bill, I think back in, 2018 or something. They was the first state to protect girls' sports. And Representative Ehart is always working on and championing policies to protect children and protect parents. That was a great bill. We've also been working on another great parental rights bill in Tennessee. And I mean, these are just a couple of about a dozen bills that are moving forward right now on parental rights. Also, a lot of great legislation to protect children from being trafficked across state lines to get abortions. Minors, we're talking about minors here. A lot of great legislation to protect children from hormone change therapy and surgeries. I mean, straight up child abuse.
Yeah.
And our legislators have been really protecting children on that front. And so that's really, really encouraging.
So many good ones. You know, you have a really cool job. Can I just say it's so cool to get to work with all these folks.
I have the best job. And I tell people it's the best job because our legislators are just cream of the crop. I mean, if you think you're getting discouraged, just call us at PFLN and we'll just tell you all the incredible stories and the way God is really working through states. And I just get amazed at who he's called to the battle to champion these issues.
Yeah.
And then also the way that the founders designed our system, that when things aren't going great at the federal level, that we can still make incredible progress at the state level. And that's exactly what PFLN is doing, and it's really encouraging.
Amen. Amen. Oh, so good. So good. Well, thank you for all that you're doing. Thanks for equipping and coming alongside those legislators, connecting them, all the things that we're doing at the network. And as you talk to them, just tell them we're getting our Wall Builders audience to pray for them, to keep lifting them up, and
thank you.
Legislators to come. You know, there's so many others out there that
yes.
need to come to the conference. And
can I say one more
yeah,
thing, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to invite any legislators, and I know we have a lot of legislators that listen to the Wall Builders show. Mark the dates on your calendar. Save the dates, November 14th through the 17th, 2024 in Dallas, Texas. Come join us. You're not going to want to miss this briefing, policy briefing on all the issues as you prepare for your next legislative session. And then as you said, Rick, if people are listening to this show, we would just invite them to encourage their legislators to join PFLN, attend the conference. And then as you said, Rick, don't forget to pray for your legislators. They need that. And you would be amazed at how much it encourages them.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about for those legislators that are out there, you're listening or considering coming, I'm telling you, it will rejuvenate you. You'll be worn out after the campaign like you always are. You'll be looking for that break. This is the perfect break. Bring your spouse. Hang out with these other pro-family legislators for the weekend. That iron sharpening is amazing. The speakers are incredible. The food is awesome, and it's just a great time. I'm telling you, it's a great, great time. So definitely, Audrey, again, the dates, it's November, what is it, 14th?
Yeah, November 14th through the 17th. And obviously, Rick, you're going to be there speaking. David and Tim will be there speaking and teaching. I mean, we've already have incredible speakers lined up. Kelly Shackelford will be with us here. Matt Staver will be with us again this year. So the legal strategies that we're working on that pair right along with the policy strategies are really exciting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff, folks. Go check it out. And the website one more time for them to be able to quickly go there.
November 14th through the 17th. And they can go to profamily.com to get more information.
All right, folks, profamily.com. We'll have a link today at the website as well. Share it with your friends and family. Make sure you send it to your legislators for sure. Audrey, thanks so much. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks. I appreciate you.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Hey, guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation. So really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. Very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history, and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
Back here on the Wobble to Show, thanks to Audria Decker and the team at Pro Family Legislative Network and all of those legislators out there doing great work. And guys, not only the stuff that's passing, I just want to give a shout out to all those legislators that filed, maybe didn't get it passed this time, but they're fighting the good fight. They're doing the hard work. And as you guys know well, sometimes it takes two or three sessions to get some of these big things done, but just a lot of good efforts taking place in a lot of states. I mean, when she said 16 states on I was like, wow, that's overwhelming. That's really good stuff.
Yeah, and what do you think? I admit I was blown away with 30,000 schools with chaplains and no suicides, zero. I mean, oh my goodness, with all the health crisis that's been going on that we've been hearing about, and it's not going in these schools with chaplains, that is a significant commentary. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, and Rick, as you pointed out, right, I mean, that doesn't mean there can't be an anomaly. And it doesn't mean that, you know, just because there's a chaplain, no bad things will happen. But it does show a pretty stark contrast of what the founding fathers used to know and understand, right? When you are helping set up the future of the republic, which is what education was supposed to do, right? Equip and train the rising generation, who they are, what they're going to do, how they're going to be leaders in the nation. The founding fathers universally agreed that we hold these truths to be self-evident. They're is a divine creator, because all men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. They start with this basic premise that there was a God. Our rights come from God. Government exists to protect those rights. And you know, we're now living in this weird world where you have people on MSNBC saying that if you believe in God-given rights, you must be a Christian nationalist, which is crazy because you're accusing every single founding father of being a Christian nationalist, right? What they universally held to be true. But one of the things the founding fathers understood so well that we have forgotten in modern culture is the impact, the influence, the importance of understanding that you are not the center of the universe, right? There is a God, there's a creator. It's also why she talked about even the, you know, the Ten Commandments bills that are happening, and they're being filed all over the country as well, because there's so many opportunities to once again restore some of those basic premises of education that were stripped away over the last 30, 40, 50 years from really bad Supreme Court cases. And now we're at a place we can see a lot of restoration and the advancement of religious liberty, or protecting girls in locker rooms and sports. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about. So much good news happening from these state legislators. And this is, again, we've mentioned it before, but when people support wall builders, this is one of the things we do, is help encourage and promote this kind of legislation. And these legislators doing this all over the nation.
Yeah, Tim, like you said, man, they would all, in fact, maybe that's what it was, July 1776, the Christian Nationalist Convention. That's what it was. It wasn't the Continental Congress. It was the Christian Nationalist Convention, I think, that they had there. Yeah, it's crazy, man, but such good stuff. We're beating back all these crazy labels that they're coming up with. The values and the principles are what count, and these legislators are doing a great job at restoring them. Thanks so much for listening today, folks. You've been listening to The Wall Builder Show.